Welcome to Miracles of God with Pastors Joel and Annalisa Jones. Not to serve somebody, might as well serve the Lord. Everyone wants to live under the blessings of the Lord, but we have to be in the right position in God to receive all He has for us. God told Abraham to arise, walk in the land through its length and its width, for I give it to you. Abraham had to get up and step into God's promises. In today's message, Pastor Joel breaks down what it means to step into God's purpose and promises.
Sometimes we feel like God is beating us down. Sometimes we think about it's too difficult to keep up a church regimen. Sometimes you don't feel like praying. We press on, right? We press through because God really does have our best interests in heart. And He wants us to acquiesce to His will, not our will. And that's what it means to be in the furnace of affliction. It's not always easy. Believe it or not, it's easier to do things the wrong way than the right way. See, when we do it our way, it seems right in the beginning, but later on you find out that was the wrong way. And you learn, wow, I could have saved a lot of time and effort by doing it God's way. Not only that, but you've got a generation probably coming after you that you've got to pass the baton to. So you can't just think about running the race for yourself. You're going to run it for somebody else, even if it's your neighbor down the street. Amen. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I just thank you right now. I give you all praise, glory, and honor, and I thank you for using me today to bring your word. I ask you, Lord, to speak through me, and I pray that ears and hearts will be open to you, Lord, as you serve up this meal. There's enough in this meal for us, for each of us, to get our portion, Lord. Let us partake so that we may be stronger in you, in Jesus' name. And we all say, amen. All right. So we're going to continue today our sermon series, which is entitled Stepping Up. This is part two. We just want to review for a moment. We learned in part one that God intends to move human beings from one position to another. God does not let you stay where you are, right? He doesn't let us stay there. It's God's intent that each and every man and woman come to Christ Jesus. That is His intent, okay? This is key if we ever expect to see heaven, because a lot of people serve a lot of gods and a lot of different religions. They say, oh, I chant, I've got a higher power. That won't get you to heaven. Doing goodwill, you can feed all the boys in Boys Town. That's good, but it won't get you to heaven. The way you get to heaven is to be saved. Jesus Himself says, assuredly, I say to you, unless you are born again, you can't even see the kingdom of God. This is in John 3:3, and you know, this is the inerrant word of God. God used men, but He, the Holy Spirit, moved them to write the truth. So when people tell you, oh, the Bible's not true, well, if this was your autobiography and you were the creator of the world, would you let somebody put a lie in there about you? I doubt it. You better not lie on me, but if I'm the creator of the world, you know you're going to pay. So that's how we look at this. God put this here for a reason. In John 14:6, Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Amen. So that means that, yeah, that's right. That means we're linked in with Jesus, who is God, and our Father in heaven, God the Father, God the Son, and there's one more. Who is it? God the Holy Spirit, right? Three in one, right? God is one person, but three different personalities. One God, all right? The triune God. So that means that it's all linked in. And being linked into Christ means what? You are going to be transformed. God doesn't leave you in one place. He sent Jesus so He could save us when we were sinners. We can't remain sinners and see heaven. And we can't change on our own because the devil owns us as long as we're doing our own thing. So then, we want to be transformed. And when we come to Christ, we come to be changed. Isn't that right? You see, God wants to take us to a higher level spiritually. That's a progression, y'all. You don't just get there on your own thought processes. We need help. We can't be transformed spiritually by saying, oh, I know what to do. No, we don't. We got too many habits. Some of us are born from different cultures, different family backgrounds. My grandfather, my people from down south, then we moved to Chicago where I was born. I got all kinds of stuff in me. How am I going to work that out? How am I going to get rid of that gang member mentality, that protect yourself at all costs? I was carrying a gun when I was 16, 18. Well, not carrying it, but I knew where to get one. But so God comes to transform us, you know, because when you can't protect yourself and you got people after you, you need some help. Well, Jesus comes to say, I'm your helper. And no matter what you bench press, I'm going to do it. Let me take care of your light work. And that's what he does in time we learn. So he wants to lift us to another level spiritually. All right. And that can only occur when we avail ourselves to God. How much? Not 90%. 100%. All right. 100%. As the prophet said in Isaiah 6:8, he said, here am I. Send me, Lord. That's the attitude we have to have. Here am I, Lord, send me. Here am I, use me. All right? And, you know, there's a song by Ron Canole. You remember that song? He said, if you can use anything, Lord, you can use me. Take my hands, take my feet. Touch my heart, Lord, speak to me. If you can use anything, Lord, you can use me. Now, that song is sung throughout the United States by churches. Other countries sing it in Spanish. But do we believe it? Do we mean it? Tell the Lord to use us? Then we say, me, Lord? This is how we are. We're something, but the that's why the Lord, we have to give it to the Lord, because we can't do it on our own. We can't even make the right decisions on our own. Really. Oftentimes, we don't do that. It takes growth on our parts. And you know how growth is accomplished? Through trials and testing. Just like Dave said, you got to put us in the furnace like a hot piece of metal. Sometimes the Lord got to beat you down. Pink, pink. You go, pink, and he's just shaping you. You ever seen an artist work on a sculpture? My brother was an artist in Chicago, and he'd take that stone and chip it. Church again. Bible study. You don't want to go. Got a card game on Wednesday. Ting, ting. It hurts, doesn't it? Boy, I need a fifth of Hennessy. Ting, ting, ting. Stop it. Right? He's shaping us. He's getting us something, getting us ready for something greater than we know. See? And that's what we're talking about, that furnace of affliction. That furnace can come through going to prison. I know some young men who have been in prison. I know some gang members, one, you know the one here, who've been shot 9 times and lived. I know some people that got infected from something that they stepped on and died. This man been shot 9 times and lived. You think God don't have something for him? Huh? He sold out for the Lord because he knows he was at death's door. That's why. That's the furnace of affliction that God sometimes have to take us to. But, you know, my mother used to say, don't learn from making your own mistakes. Learn from other people's mistakes. That's what I want to do. Because sometimes we don't even realize it, but some of us spend years in church, huh, from a religious tradition standpoint. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And we do show up for church, but then we leave church behaving the same way we did when we were there, before we came in, sometimes worse. I told you we went to Safeway after church, and I went to pick up some rolls or something, and the line was long, and I heard the lady in the line, and everybody was waiting patiently. I was the only one, I guess, that had been to church, because I was the only one standing there with the suit on, so everybody looking at me, and I go, oh, boy, I should have just taken my jacket off. But everybody's in there in shorts and T-shirts and caps on backwards. And there's another lady who was very well-dressed behind me, and she said, y'all show taking a long time in here. I don't want to be waiting in this line all this time. Everybody turned around. She was very well dressed, very attractive lady. And we go, why? What's wrong with her? And before I could say, Lord, don't let it be a church member, she said, I just came from church. I said, why did she have to say that? Now ain't nobody going to show up at church. That's a problem. See, you can go to church. And you can be stuck in tradition, and you ain't changed at all. Huh? That's right. Behaving the same way as you always have. But I'm here to tell you that's not what God wants for us. God wants us changed, just like that sword Dave was talking about. Our walks in Christ have to be about transformation through and through, just like it says in Romans 12, 1 and 2. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind that you may prove what is that good and acceptable will of God. Amen? That's what he wants. Think of it this way. You'll know when you come to God, when God has truly called you, because first you'll be called to Christ, then you'll be called to task. Did you get that? You'll come and you'll know when you're walking that walk and what God has for you when you've truly come, because you'll be called to Christ, then you'll be called to task. God's going to call you, then he's going to work on you. A lot of people think we just get saved and that's it. I'm saved. I'm covered under the blood. I'm blessed and highly favored. I just got it all. Work ain't started yet. He ain't started chinking you yet. He's not started working on you yet. You haven't lost a home yet. You haven't maybe lived on the street yet. You haven't seen your friends turn on you yet. You haven't seen your family kick you out yet. You maybe not have gone through addiction as deep as you're going to get yet. You may not have lost that job that you had that you depended on yet. God will use all those things to get us right. So we have to allow God to work on us. It's called being called to task, and we should remember that. We have to remember that. God is going to put you on a program, just like a personal trainer. God is going to get you in shape. Maybe not physical shape, but spiritual shape for sure. God is a spiritual physical trainer. He gets your blood pressure just right. He gets you just tip-top condition sooner or later. Call him a spiritual trainer. That's a good term for him, if you will. He's going to give you the exercises that you need in order for you to be in proper spiritual condition. All right? Because God has a plan for you, whether you know it or not, whether you like it or not. God has a plan for you. All right? Whether you like it or not, God's plan is the one that will stand. There's a proverb, I think it's Proverbs 18:21, that says many are the plans of the heart of man, but it's God's plan, his counsel that will stand. That's the only way I can remember that. I have to put it in rhyme. But that's what it means. You got your own plans, but only God's plans are going to stand. Look around you and see how many celebrities are out there making money, living large, rolling. Look at them. Look at the rappers that are out there. Look at Prince. Look at Michael Jackson. Look at all these people dying young. Some of the most prolific poets dying young. Where was God in their lives? We really have to look at this. We have to examine things. Money can't keep you here. Fame or your posse or your group or your entourage cannot keep you here. Your bodyguards, flesh and blood men. God works in the spirit. God ain't afraid of no 9mm. God will make you turn that thing and shoot yourself in the foot. God is in control of everything. And so we have to realize that God is the one. He's got a plan for us to get us right. You're no different. You know the tadpole turns into the frog. How's he do it? Drop the tail. We got to drop some stuff to be transformed into what God wants us to be. We can't carry that around with us. Just like that tadpole loses his tail. We got to drop that tail. We got to drop that tail of pride. We got to drop that tail of addiction. Some of us have tails of our own agenda. Got to drop that too. Got to drop that tail of jealousy and hatred and envy. Whatever else is holding you down, you got to drop it. You got to let God take it away. You got to slice that thing to get you transformed into the right image that he wants us to be in. We got to listen good to this thing, because I say this over and over again, but we got to come to Christ. We can no longer expect to live and behave as we see fit. You ain't going to hear a lot of churches preaching this, because people will leave the church when you tell them these kind of messages. But you know me, I don't care about that. I'll preach to one of y'all. Lord told me that. He said, I don't care if it's 50. I don't care if it's one, two. Preach to them. And guess what? If y'all leave, I'll preach to that chair. You know what? Because I know angels are around me, and the angels are saying, hallelujah, Joel, keep preaching. See? You got to preach the word not to keep people in the church, but to put the church in people. That's why we preach the true word. And that needs to be understood. We can't expect to behave and continue in our own way because we can't handle it. Because to be in Christ means to be a new creation. That's what it says in 2 Corinthians 5:17, doesn't it? If anyone's in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things must pass away. Behold, all things are made new. So God requires us to step away from our old existence and step up to a higher level of spirituality. We talked about that old song that Stevie Wonder said, going to a higher ground. Remember that? You're going to go to a higher ground. I forgot how it go. Forgive me. But y'all know the song. Going to keep on trying till I reach a higher ground. Remember that song? He was talking about being raised to another level. Well, God's level is higher than Stevie's. I mean, Stevie can't see, and he can see some stuff, though. I'm telling you that. But God sees clearer than all of us. Amen. Amen. Reaching for that higher level of godliness. That's what he's talking about. You're somebody special in God's eyes. I mean, you know, you all beautiful people, but God sees beauty beyond comparing you all. You're welcome, Andrew. You're out. He's acknowledging his handsomeness, so that's fine. Nothing wrong with self-confidence, y'all. So stepping up means stepping away from our worldly or fleshly standards and stepping up by God's standards. Amen. Now, in part one of our sermon, we looked at a man named Barak. You remember Barak? He was in the book of Judges, chapter 4. And if you all remember, Barak was called by God to step up and lead Israel on an assignment. What did he do? He said, "Not me, Lord." But he didn't say those words. But he wasn't going to take the assignment unless Deborah, the prophetess, went with him. And Deborah said, "Okay, I'll go with you, but if I go with you, then you're going to lose because they're going to give the glory saying that a woman went before you." And Barak was like, "I don't care. I'm going with you. Go with me anyway." Whatever the case may be, he didn't say it in those words, but he took the assignment contingent upon Deborah going with him instead of doing what? Just saying, "Here am I, Lord, send me." See, this is what I want you to know. You can't accept God's assignments. You don't negotiate God's assignments. It's a test. When God tells you something, he already knows what you're going to do. Yeah. Barak didn't surprise God. He already knew. Another person that was like that was Gideon. You remember Gideon? Yeah. Lord told Gideon to do something. He said, "Okay, Lord, if it's you, if I lay this fleece down, would you, in the morning when the dew sets on it, would you put the dew on top of the fleece and then I'll know it's you?" God did it. Then the next time he said, "Well, this time I'm going to lay the fleece down, make it wet underneath, then I'll know it's you." He did it. See, we have a tendency to want to check God. We have a tendency to want to ask God. God doesn't have to show you anything. If you know God and you truly know God and you truly believe in God, God gives you the command, you do it and leave the consequences to God. Huh? When I was under attack, the Lord said, "You won't even use your weapon. Walk in and rebuke that devil in the name of Jesus." Do you know that that man was swinging at me? And I said, "Oh, I got to take a punch for the Lord." Well, I'm willing. And he said, "Just rebuke him in the name of Jesus." When that guy swung, oh, I could have taken care of him myself. But the Lord wouldn't let me. He was showing me his power. And when I said, "I rebuke you in Jesus' name," the guy collapsed on the floor. 12 people saw it. Deputy sheriffs who were standing by because the man had already whipped on 4 officers. What's one more? But God was showing me that I've got you covered. I've got the strength. I've got the power. I'm in you. You command those demons to flee, and those demons have to flee. I've been trained for almost 30 years in martial arts. The Lord said, "You won't have to raise a hand." And it's happened ever since that day. I'm telling you, when we really look at God, and God showed me that, I didn't know I was going to be a pastor then, but the Lord made me a pastor. I didn't want to be a pastor. So he showed me the strength. He showed me his power. He showed me what he can do. And he's showing it to each one of you. You just got to tap into it. What good is riding around a car with your windows down when you got an air conditioner? Use the air conditioner. Does that make sense? Yeah. Some of us in churches today, we're willing to step up when the assignment or process pleases us. Yeah. We'll do something if it wasn't for me, Lord. Mm-hmm. Some of us will turn God down on an assignment if it doesn't agree with us. Isn't that right? We've all done that. Have we not done it? Well, Lord, I'll do it, but you got a missionary assignment? Where? Not over there in Iran. Afghanistan. How about Hawaii, Lord? Can't you send me to Hawaii? You know, can I witness to somebody at the luau? we want to go there. Well, let the Lord say he's going to send you to the jungles of Nipa Nipa, where people, where they got tribes. They go. But we need to get to where we stand and move as directed by God, regardless of how we feel. God tests us. That's what a true soldier does. Let's do this. Let's go to our Bible. I'm going to ask Pastor, Sister, Friend, Annalisa, little soldier, to take us to 2 Timothy 2, verses 3 to 5. And could you read that for us, please?
Okay, 2 Timothy 2, verses 3 and 5 says,
3 to 5.
You, therefore, must endure hardships as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. No one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who enlists him as a soldier. Mm-hmm. And verse 5 says, and also, if anyone competes in athletics, he is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules.
Thank you, Pastor.
Brother Dave, can you turn this down a little bit? Thank you.
All right. Now, this scripture is, this verse is appropriate to our walks in Christ because this is what it means to be under God's command. We learn to endure hardship. Folks, you can't get out of this without enduring hardship. There's going to be some hardships that come our way in Christ. That's what people don't understand. I don't know if you understood that when you came to Christ, however many years that was, it was a big thing. Maybe you got baptized and you all went out to dinner and went to the buffet. You know, you go to the buffet. Y'all did that or whatever. Ate till you couldn't, your eyes got heavy, went home. Burping, talking about, thank you, Jesus. You went home. But you didn't know the work that was going to have to be done, did you? You didn't know that he was going to start chinking on your armor, did you, right? You must endure hardships to become good soldiers. Notice it says good. You can be a soldier, but are you a good soldier? Huh? You can show up and do the exercises, but can we count on you when the chips are down? A good soldier, will you take a hit for the team? Will you jump on a grenade if you see it to save your comrades? That's a good soldier. Good soldier don't care about himself. A good soldier wants to work as his commander has taught him to be. That's a good soldier. So this says that you must endure hardship as a good soldier. As a good soldier, you must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. You know, in World War II and in Nam, when they blew people's arms off, there were soldiers running, picked up their arm with the good arm, because they planned on coming out of it and that arm being reattached. Can you imagine a man with a machine gun and he straps it across his back and he's running with his arm in his hand? That's a good soldier, still fighting. Mm-hmm. They've had people blown up, legs shot off, still crawling to get to the opposition. That's a good soldier who won't stop fighting. God wants us to be good soldiers in Christ Jesus, that we won't stop fighting, won't stop persevering, won't start turning away from God and turning away from church, no matter what comes, no matter what the media says, no matter what the rules say, we're going to follow Jesus Christ all the way. That's what he's looking for.
Amen. This is Miracles of God with Pastor Joel Jones, sponsored by Spirit of Truth Church Worldwide in Fairfield, California. Today's message, along with previous broadcasts, are available on demand at spiritoftruthchurchworldwide.com. To connect with us, like and follow us on Facebook. And if Pastor Joel's messages are blessing you, let us know. Submit your comments, testimonies, and prayer requests on our contact page at spiritoftruthchurchworldwide.com. Are you in need of prayer or encouragement? Please call us at 707-759-5244. Miracles of God is a listener-supported program, and we're so thankful for your support. If you haven't had the opportunity to sow a financial seed and have the desire and the means to do so, Will you prayerfully consider doing so today? All financial donations are tax deductible and accepted on our secure website where giving is easy. Simply click on the donate button on our website to give today. We appreciate your faithful support and pray the Lord continues to strengthen you as you follow Him. Join us Sundays for live worship services on Facebook at 1 p.m. and Wednesday evenings at 7 for prayer and Bible study at 8 p.m. as we walk through the Bible together. Sunday services are also available on YouTube and at SpiritOfTruthChurchWorldwide.com. And don't forget to tune into Miracles of God next week for the continuation of Stepping Up with Pastor Joel Jones. Until next time. God is-